You turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and we'll read just a couple of verses, starting in verse 20. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. For if our heart condemns or blames us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns or blames us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandment and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Let's pray again. Father, again, we thank You that we have the liberty in this country to open up the Word of God. We pray that You would guide us and direct us as we look at some of these passages, that, Lord, You would give us Your confidence as we approach the throne of grace, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I find it interesting as I'm going through my life as a Christian that the Scripture tells us to go and get some things old and some things new. And recently I was given this book, Praying in the Holy Spirit, by Ironside. It's older than I am alive, so this is pretty old. And some of you have been instrumental in my life in the last couple of months, last year, giving me different literature to read on prayer. And this is one of those books that I was given to me. And there's a chapter in this book called Hindrances to Our Prayer. And I like to read what Ironside has to say on this particular passage, because I think it's something that I've had to deal with. And it's something when you see yourself reflected in the Scriptures and you have to ask the Lord for forgiveness, and then you see how God works in you, you say, well, God is powerful and He's alive and He's active and He changes us and He molds us into the image of Christ. So having read this passage, he's dealing with this passage. He says, the entire passage from verse 14 to the end of the chapter is most illuminating and shows us that we would pray in confidence when he who would pray in confidence when his own needs arise must ever walk in love and consideration for others and minister to their needs as he has opportunity. Otherwise, how can he go to God with an uncondemning heart when in distress himself? It is written, whosoever stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Proverbs 21:13. If therefore I desire mercies of the Lord for myself, let me see to it that I show mercy to others. Otherwise, my own heart will condemn me, and I cannot pray in the Holy Spirit. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Harshness of spirit, indifference to the needs of others, whether spiritual or temporal, will effectually hinder my prayer getting through to the ear of God. The principle is of wide application. Whatever condemns me in my own conscience hinders prayer. Till it is judged, pleading and wrestling are in vain. Let me first search and try my ways and see if I am allowing anything in my life that is grieving the Spirit. If so, I cannot pray as I should. For God has not promised to hear the cry of one whose own heart condemns him. But if all is judged, the line is clear, and I can pray with assurance, then I shall know beyond a doubt that I have to do with the living God who hears my prayer. And, you know, in this passage, go back to verse 20. It says, if our heart condemns or it's blaming us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. God's aware of what's going on in our hearts. And, you know, sometimes there's blame that is correct blame, and sometimes there's not correct blame. Because, you know, sometimes we ask God to forgive us, and there's this stuff that comes at us that the devil throws at us. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about we're coming to boldly before the throne of grace. We're approaching God, And we're asking God for certain things, and then certain things pop up. A number of things. And I want to discuss one in just a few minutes. And as that thing pops up, we're called to judge it. We're called to confess it. We're called to turn it away. Because if we don't, what you have is verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence toward God. When there isn't that striking at us in our heart as we're praying, you know, because you can be praying for something or someone, and inside you says, you know, I do have something, like it says in the scriptures, you have something against someone, leave your offering at the altar and go straighten it out. But there's a number of things that can be brought to our attention by the Spirit of God as we come into that Holy of Holies. Because you see, verse 22, it's in the context of prayer. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. It's as we falter and fail with what God has clearly said that our heart condemns us. Our heart tells us certain issues that are going on. And I'd like to discuss one in particular, one issue that I've had to deal with in my own life. And maybe you've already dealt with it, or maybe you're dealing with it. Because I think sometimes as we go through life, you know, it's been interesting. Years ago, I was taught that we shouldn't always bring up our own life situations. But the more I read Brother Ironside, every one of his commentaries relates personal experiences. And he was probably one of the most used men in his time. And so I'm going to share some things that God has been doing in my own life. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Sorry. Luke 18. And starting in verse 9. And we will read the first 8 verses after I read these verses first. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. 2 men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like these other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Interesting. The Lord talking about prayer. You have two individuals. You have Pharisee, a self-righteous individual, and this publican, this tax collector. And there they are. And, you know, I don't know about you, but many times in my life I played the Pharisee. I have done the work of looking myself, as it says in verse 11, I'm not as other men are. You know, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like the publican. You know, I'm not like those guys. You know, I have good doctrine. I follow this way and I've been taught and I'm keeping. And so there's, a judgmental spirit that I judge others inferior to exalt myself. And see, this is a tendency I think we have as believers. I think it's across the board. Because the Lord speaks on it so often. He speaks on it. And here you have a difficulty because He's dealing with prayer. Because now we're going to read verse 1 of this chapter. And He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Here was this widow constantly going to this unjust judge. And God says that he was going to give to her for her perseverance. And then he brings up two people praying, a publican and a Pharisee. And how, what's the difference? When you come in prayer, when I come into the room of God, you know what, brethren? I'm naked. God knows everything about me. Everything. And yet the Pharisee could stand there and say, I'm not like all these other people over here. Because I do it right and he does it wrong. And you know, in Christendom, in Christianity, this is an issue that's out there that we have to deal with as believers. We have to deal with it. Because you see, he's talking about who went home justified. That sinner who didn't even pick up his hand, he said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Lord, forgive me. I can't even stand in your presence. You know, there's an attitude here, isn't there? This is an issue. It's not what can be seen. It's what's inside the heart. And there, God beams light and shows us. And our heart can condemn us there. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 1. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thy own eye, and behold, the beam is in thy own? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For every one that seeketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Judging. How often, you know, you look at others with a demeaning attitude. I know the truth. I have the truth. I've been taught the truth. And there is this attitude of judging. And you know, it can show up in a number of ways. It can show up in so many different ways. You know? Somebody can judge somebody for going to the public school. Hope, how unspiritual to go to the public school. The spiritual thing is to be a homeschooler. Brethren, I've done that. And I can give you a list of things where I can show what I have done. And yet, what ends up happening then, it tells you in verse 12, what does it say there? How do you want others to act towards you? Because if I have that Spirit, and I express that Spirit, guess what's going to happen with the brethren towards me? They will judge me too. They will judge me too. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 27. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thanketh thee? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Interesting, as you know, the Lord speaks. There's so many things here that we set up these double standards. We look at some one way and we look at another this way. Well, he's saying, you know, love your enemies. Why? You know, I'll be nice to the people who are nice to me. That's natural. And yet we judge certain folks a certain way and say, stay away. Stay away. Stay away. You know, when we've been working in Spain, there's very clear dichotomy between certain churches, certain assemblies, and other assemblies. And we judge. I'll be the first. We've judged. I tell you, brother, I've gone up one side and down the other side. Oh, you know, those brethren over there, they're way liberal. They're too liberal for me. Oh, they just don't do it right here. But we do. We do. And then you have those other brethren over there. Oh, man, they're way off on the right. And you see, what ends up happening is we have a difficulty here. We have a difficulty. A difficulty of how we see with our eyes. Now, go with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 24. We'll start in verse 23. John 7, verse 23. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? See, the Lord Jesus was healing somebody on the Sabbath and they were judging him. He was doing good, and he was being judged by his onlookers. But look at how he responds. Verse 24. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You see, we can look at the outward appearance and make a judgment call. And we have a tendency to do that. Now, turn with me now to Job. Job chapter 1 and verse 8. This is what God has to say about His servant Job. Job chapter 1 and verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God and pushes away evil. That's God's call. Now look at verse 21. And said, Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thereof, thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, brethren, honestly, if you were there, and you saw all that happened to Job, his family was taken from him, all his goods were destroyed, you know, his wife turned against him. How would you judge it? How would you judge it? What would be your call? What would be your call? If this is all you had and saw how it was coming down, it was raining on him. How would you judge it? Look at chapter 4. Verse 7. This is one of the counselors. Remember, I pray thee, whoever perisheth, being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. See that? The counselors, they came to Job. Can you imagine? Job was in anguish. In anguish. And the counselors are telling him, Job, you're reaping what you've sown. Job, you are reaping. This is because your life has been blah, 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 blah. Wow. Did they get it right, brother? Did they get it right? They failed miserably. They judged it according to an appearance, and they were totally wrong in their misunderstanding. God had a purpose for Job's suffering. That these men were not discerning. They were not aware. And how easy it is to judge a situation. You know why? Turn with me now to Psalm 73. Psalm 73 and verse 17. Here the psalmist is talking about how the wicked prosper. And he's just blown away. He's not understanding how these wicked people prosper. But look at verse 17. Psalm 73, verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. You see, how easy it is for me to judge something from the outside without entering into God's presence, fully into His presence. Where my sin is judged, my attitudes have been judged, and I say, Lord, forgive me. I've been judging it wrong. I've been judging that brother and that sister and that work and that wrong. Because I've been seeing it through the eyes of the flesh. Because that's the difficulty. It's in the Scriptures. The Lord said they were judging according to their flesh. And yet, as we come to God in prayer tonight, brethren, what's hindering your life in prayer? I share with you what's been hindering mine. God has dealt with me blows after blows after blows. And, you know, there's more in this book. I have had to read slow, slow, slow and meditate, meditate, meditate and just say, Lord, I want to enter into your presence. Because, you know, brethren, I really believe that all power in heaven and earth has been entrusted to us. Do you believe that? Then why aren't we seeing it? Why can't we see things change drastically? Why is there a lack of power in my life? Why is there a lack of power to see things, people transformed drastically? Transformation in my own life. You know, I really believe God's a powerful God. There's no question. The problem is not with God, never with God. You know, we first went to the mission field. We got there. Missionary was living in the mission field. He said, God failed me. Missionary, been there for over a decade. He said, God failed us. I said, Lord, this is really new for me. I'm in the mission field. You know, how can this guy say that? But you know, God didn't fail him. I look back now, the failure wasn't God. It's how are my prayers hindered as I approach God most holy. Because if I approach Him the way He tells me to approach Him, and I pray according to His will, and I can see from the sanctuary out, guess what's going to happen? Guess what's going to happen? My words, like Samuel said, will not fall to the ground. They will do something. We were given a book this summer, crying out to God. Wow. And I tell you, brethren, we cried out to God. Tears, hours of tears. And you know what God begins to show? I'll take care of that problem. Just wait. We got to work on this problem first. And the Lord said, okay, Lord. Okay. But you know why? I want God to answer prayer. I want God to show His power. I want God to show His mercy. I want God to be the focal point of my life. And that whoever sees my life can see the brokenness of my wickedness, but see the greatness of God most holy. And if they don't see that, you know what? I got to go back into the closet and say, God, you got to break me some more. Because I don't want Gil Vargas to be seen. I want my Jesus to be seen. And this is an area that my heart has blamed me. Blamed me how I've judged and judged from the outside, not having walked into the sanctuary. And you know, brethren, we're in God's presence right now. But in a few moments, heaven's going to open up. We're going to talk. We're going to talk to God Almighty. Wouldn't you want this place to be shook tonight? That His presence just so shakes us because we are so broken and humble? Because there's nothing to hinder His movement of His Spirit and His power in us? Brethren, I hope so. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come to you, we recognize, Lord, that we are sinners. We fail you miserably every day. And yet, Father, you desire to use us. You desire to use such broken vessels. And Father, as we pray, as we come to you, as we come to that throne of grace, that, Lord, any hindrance would be taken away by your Spirit, that our prayers would be guided by your Spirit, and that, Lord, things would change in our lives, in our homes, in our church, in our society, because we've come to God Almighty, who is desirous to hear our prayers. Father, we commit our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen.